Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Yesterday, we spoke of the Feast of All Saints. Today, we speak of the Feast of All Souls. That's all of us, those who have gone before us. We pray for them, that they may soon, very soon, see the face of God. Pope Benedict, again, Pope Emeritus Benedict, said this. I read what he had to say about All Saints. I want to share with you what he says about All Souls Day. I would go as so far as to say that if there was no purgatory, then we would have to invent it. For who would dare say of himself that he was able to stand directly before God? And yet, we don't want to be, to use an image from Scripture, a pot that turned out wrong, end of quote, that has to be thrown away. We want to be able to be put right. Purgatory basically means that God can put the pieces back together again, that he can cleanse us in such a way that we are able to be with him and can stand there in the fullness of life. Purgatory strips off from one person what is unbearable and from another the inability to bear certain things, so that in each of them a pure heart is revealed, and we can see that we all belong together in one enormous symphony of being, to be together, to reflect the glory of God forever. It's not static, brothers and sisters. It's not static. Somebody said to me one time, I think I'd be bored. I said, what? You don't understand. It will be the most dynamic life you've ever lived. Where every need and every hope and every dream that is of God will be satisfied. It's the truth. God promised it. So let's pray for the souls in purgatory, that they may see God very, very soon. From the Book of Wisdom, chapter 3, verses 1 to 9. The souls of the just are in the hand of God, and no torment shall touch them. They seemed in the view of the foolish to be dead, and their passing away was thought an affliction, and their going forth from us utter destruction. But they are in peace. For if before men indeed they be punished, yet is their hope full of immortality. Chastised a little, they shall be greatly blessed. All of us need to make reparation for our sin. All of us. But even if we experience that punishment, yet is their hope and our hope full of immortality. Because chastised a little, we shall be greatly blessed. Because God tried them, God tries us, and found them worthy of himself. As gold in the furnace, he proved them, and as sacrificial offerings, he took them to himself. In the time of their visitation, they shall shine, and shall dart about as sparks through stubble. They shall judge nations and rule over peoples, and the Lord shall be their king forever. Those who trust in him shall understand truth, and the faithful shall abide with him in love, because grace and mercy are with his holy ones, and his care is with his elect. God, in his mercy, prepares a way for us to be cleansed of our sin. He knows we're not perfect. And he makes it possible for us to be purified, to be ready to see his face. Think about that. Think about mercy. Mercy. That would allow someone who had, for example, murdered someone, as long as he repented in this life and was sorry, he will see the face of God. Think about that kind of mercy. And God says, love as I've loved. God asks us, love as I love. How can we say? Only by his grace and power. Let's forgive and be forgiven as much as we can in this life, both to forgive and to be forgiven, so we have less time or no time in purgatory. Really, consider what is ahead and ask yourself, where do I want to end up? When I'm ready to see the face of God, when I'm ready to die, how ready am I? Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want. The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want. Wow. Wow. Though I walk in the valley of darkness, I fear no evil, for you are with me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In verdant pastures he gives me repose. Beside restful waters he leads me. He refreshes my soul. He guides me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk in the dark valley, I fear no evil, for you are at my side with your rod and your staff that give me courage. You spread the table before me in the sight of my foes. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Only goodness and kindness follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come. The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want. Another verse from that, though I walk in the valley of darkness, I fear no evil, for you are with me. The Lord is my shepherd. Do you allow him to shepherd you? Do you follow him when he gathers his flock together? Do you receive the water and the pasture that he gives you? Are you looking to him for what you need? You don't come to God when you've exhausted every other resource and then said, oh God, do something. Go to him first. He may point out a way that could save you a lot of time and energy. Ask him, Lord, help me. I am in need. My family is in need. We are in need. Please, Lord, come. Come and help. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 5, verses 5 to 11. Brothers and sisters, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For Christ, while we were still helpless, died at the appointed time for the ungodly. He died for all of us, sinner and saint. Indeed, only with difficulty does one die for a just person, though perhaps for a good person one might even find courage to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He died while we were rejecting him, turning away from him. He died for us. Think about that kind of generosity. Think about that kind of love. That's your God for you. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How much more then, since we are now justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath? Indeed, if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, how much more, once reconciled, will we be saved by his life? Not only that, but we also boast of God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom, not only that, but we also boast of God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. There's no mercy greater than that. My goodness, don't stand apart from him. There's life for you. There's hope for you. There's healing for you. There's mercy. There's forgiveness. There's restoration for you. Don't hold back. Saying it's too much, too long, I can't change. Don't do that. Just say, Lord, I'm sorry. Will you please forgive me? And then open your heart to hear what God has to say to you. He may say it to you directly. Somebody may say something to you that helps you. Maybe this program will help you. There are all kinds of ways in which God speaks to our heart. He loves you. And if you're far away from him right now, he longs to have you return. And the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 37 to 40. Jesus said to the crowds, "Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and I will not reject anyone who comes to me, because I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. And this is the will of the one who sent me, that I should not lose anything of what he gave me, but that I should raise it on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I shall raise him on the last day." Now there's God's promise. God is real. These are God's words, not mine. I can give you an explanation. I can help you to understand. But the most I can do is point the way to God. And that's a privilege in itself. But it's he who promises to forgive, he who promises to heal and restore, he who promises to give us eternal life. Eternal life. That's what God wants to do. So when we see those we dearly love going before us, and we find ourselves in sorrow, yes, understandably, but remember, this is not for always. Death does not have the last word. God has the last word. And he will receive us into eternal life if we believe in him and follow him and repent when we fail. That's not much to have to do, so to speak, for an eternity of happiness, eternity of peace. No more war, no more suffering, no more pain, no more death anymore. For the old order, says Scripture, will have passed away, and all is made new. And I've told you before that the word new in Scripture most often means never having been seen before. It's not like a new model. It's never having been seen before. What God has in store for those who love him, who believe in him, who follow him, who repent when they fail. That's all. Brothers and sisters, I urge you to ask God to strengthen your faith so that you in turn may show forth the kind of peace and hope that you have in God. Because often it's that personal testimony that will touch the heart of another and change them. May God give us the grace today to thank him again for what he did for us upon the cross and for the mercy that he extends to us both in life and in death. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.